Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
You're listening to the final episode of a three-part series called The Haunting, Murder from Beyond the Grave on the Last 24 Hours, where we now go to Chicago, Illinois, and the apartment of Teresita Bassa, the scene of a grisly crime.
On February 21st, 1977, at around 8:40 p.m., firefighters responded to a call of a fire on the 15th floor of Teresita's apartment at 2740 and Pine Grove Avenue in Lincoln Park. The call came in after neighbors had alerted a maintenance worker who called 911 after smelling smoke. He led the firefighters into Bassa's apartment using a passkey. After putting out the fire, the firefighters would make a gruesome discovery. Teresita was discovered naked, stabbed through the chest with a kitchen knife, and set on fire under a pile of burning clothes and a mattress. Investigators initially believed that she was raped, but medical records would later reveal that this was not the case. They also noted that her apartment appeared to have been ransacked. Teresita was born in the Philippines and led a privileged life. After graduating from Assumption College, she went to the United States to get a master's degree in music from Indiana University before continuing to study inhalation therapy. Eventually, Teresita settled in Chicago, where she became a respiratory therapist at the Edgewater Hospital. She was known as a hard worker, exceptionally dedicated to her job, and took great pride in providing the best care for her patients. Before her death, Teresita was studying at the Loyola University and was preparing her doctor's thesis on music. Friends and acquaintances described her as a polite woman who led a very routine, quiet life, which makes the manner of her death all the more shocking and perplexing. Who would murder this well-liked, reserved woman? The answer would elude investigators for almost 6 months. They pursued many leads, but were all subsequently dismissed. Teresita's boyfriend was even looked at as a possible suspect, but that proved to be a dead end. After combing the apartment for evidence, Joseph Statula, the detective assigned to her case, only had one promising lead, a handwritten note that they found on Teresita's journal. It read, "Get tickets for AS." Then, a tip from the Evanston, Illinois Police Department would help the investigators identify the bearer of the mystery initials, directing the detectives to look into a certain Alan Showery, a respiratory technician from the same hospital where Teresita worked. Dr. Juan Chua, a surgical assistant at the Franklin Boulevard Community Hospital, approached the police with this information, and by doing so, took the case to a chilling, unexpected direction. According to Dr. Chua, his wife Remy, who had briefly worked at the Edgewater Hospital, was possessed by the spirit of Teresita Bassa. Remy Chua, a Filipina herself, told her husband shortly after Teresita's murder that she started having dreams in which Teresita Bassa would appear to her. In these visions, Teresita would tell her what happened on the night of her murder and begged her to go to the police. Dr. Chua initially dismissed his wife's eerie admission. After all, he didn't know this Teresita at all and had no knowledge of her dying a sudden violent death. But then one night after Remy retired to go to sleep, Dr. Chua claimed that she started to speak in a different voice. Speaking in Tagalog, the voice claimed that she was Teresita Bassa and that she had been stabbed to death by Alan Showery, an orderly at the Edgewater Hospital. In spite of the hair-raising circumstance, Dr. Chua managed to ask the voice why she allowed Alan Showery inside her home. The voice replied he was a friend and urged him to go to the police with this information. When Remy woke up, she claimed that she had no memory of what happened. The Chuas were shaken and did not get in touch with the police as they were told, out of fear that they would appear foolish. It wasn't until Teresita's spirit would possess Remy a second time that the Chuas would eventually agree to her ghostly request. In the second possession, Teresita asked why they had not gone to the police as she had asked, to which Dr. Chua expressed his concern about going to the authorities without any evidence to substantiate their claims. Teresita's voice then detailed several jewelry that Showery took from her apartment after the murder, jewelry that he had apparently given his girlfriend. Unsure at first about what to do with this information, given the highly unusual source, Detective Statula nevertheless conducted a background check on Alan Shaori and discovered that he lived close to Teresita. On the 11th of August, Statula, along with another detective, decided to pay him a visit. Confronted by the police, Alan Shaori admitted to knowing Teresita, but denied ever going to her apartment. During this visit, however, the detectives would notice that his live-in girlfriend, Yanka Kamluk, was wearing a pearl cocktail ring similar to the jewelry described by Teresita's voice. It was enough for the detectives to bring Shaori in for further questioning. This time, Shaori confirmed that he went to Teresita's apartment to help fix her TV, but claimed that he didn't have the right tools to do so, and left immediately after. Frustrated with the inconsistencies in his statements, the detectives decided to shift their attention to Shaori's girlfriend and went back to his apartment to find out what she knows. More importantly, they wanted to find out more about her choice of jewelry. In her interview with the detectives, Yanka Kamluk confirmed that her jewelry were recently given to her by Alan as a belated Christmas gift, a pendant and a ring that were soon after identified by relatives to be Teresita's stolen jewelry. Faced with this new development, Shaori confessed. In his confession, he admitted to knowing Teresita from work and revealed that she often helped him out whenever he's in a tough financial spot. In the past, she would tip him generously for helping her do random errands and tasks. On the night she died, he had gone to her apartment with the intention of robbing her so he could afford to pay his rent. He attacked her from behind, took off her clothes to make it seem like a sexual assault incident, then placed a bedroom mattress on top of her and set it on fire. He left her apartment with only $30 and a handful of the jewelry that tied him to the murder. The sensational trial that followed was dubbed by local media as the voice from the grave, and in spite of his confession, Shaori pleaded not guilty, claiming that he was only joking when he made the confession. The Chicago Tribune reported that much of the attention was placed on Remy Chua's testimony, where she reiterated her claim that Teresita spoke of her death through her lips. Shaori's defense, for their part, argued that Remy faked her trances because she had been fired from her work at the hospital. During the trial, it was revealed that Remy was also a respiratory therapist at the Edgewater Hospital and was herself familiar with Alan Shaori. Co-workers testified that Remy was frightened of Shaori prior to the murder, after he had complained about the quality of her work. Even though much of the evidence gathered with the help of Teresita's voice pointed to Shaori's guilt, the jury was deadlocked and ended on January 26, 1979 with a mistrial. While awaiting a second trial, however, Shaori decided to plead guilty to the murder of Teresita Baza, as well as robbery and arson. How Shaori arrived at this decision has become the point of much creepy speculation. Just like the Manila Film Center incident, any narrative following a tragic event will always attract spooky tales. In this case, there were rumors that Teresita's ghost appeared to Shaori while in jail and scared him into finally taking responsibility for her murder. Alan Shaori was sentenced to 14 years in prison, but served less than 5 years of it after he was paroled in 1983. In 1980, the Chuas told the Tribune that as far as they're concerned, their mission was now accomplished, and gave their complete version of the events in a book titled A Voice from the Grave. Over the years, many have speculated about the authenticity of the Chuas' paranormal experience, with theories ranging from possible subconscious fear of Shaori or inventing a story to expose his criminal behavior has been written by many who continue to be fascinated with this unusual case. Regardless, many more consider the events as a shining proof of paranormal phenomena. Whether you believe that the dead can come back to haunt the living, solve their own murder, or avenge their own deaths or not, it's undeniable that certain events attract unexplainable and dark forces beyond our comprehension. Even as stories resulting from these events make us want to turn on all the lights, scream, or hide under the sheets, many of us can't resist but seek them out, not because we believe that ghosts are real, but because deep down, we all want to believe that there's life after death.
And that concludes our spooky three-part series called The Haunting, Murder from Beyond the Grave, on the last 24 hours.
If you enjoyed this special three-part series, like and subscribe to The Last 24 Hours on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else you get your podcast fix. Get social with The Last 24 Hours on Instagram at The Last 24 Hours Podcast, and on Facebook at Historia Nijet.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.